Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hope your Friday is getting off to a good start. Thanks for being with us for a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. A lot to get to today. It's busier sports day than what it's been, especially from a local perspective. Football scrimmages kick off tonight, and when that happens, we are exactly 1 week away from the start of high school sports for 2018-19, and of course the start of the 2018 high school football season. Also, the New Albany Little League team in a do-or-die game tonight on ESPN, a rematch against New Albany, Ohio, who was a winner yesterday over Kentucky. In a semifinal coming out of the bottom side of the bracket, the winner goes to a Saturday championship game against Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Of course, Michigan has breezed through the bracket so far, 3-0, including a big win over New Albany, 14-2, a couple days ago. But we'll see what happens. New Albany, I would think, a great chance to get back at least to play Michigan. Another game on ESPN if they can win this one tonight. And pitching would be, at least going into tonight, is intact and an opportunity to see what happens. If they can get Michigan again, I sure think it can be closer than what it was the last time. They did not look like the New Albany team, hitting, fielding, pitching, that has gotten them this far. But we'll see. They got to win a big one tonight. It's New Albany versus New Albany, Indiana versus Ohio on ESPN. 5 o'clock is the first pitch in that contest. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I'll have some news and notes to start the day in Segment 1, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. In Segment 2, we'll be joined by Andy Bottoms of Assembly Call. He's filling in for Jared Morris today. That segment is presented by Coffee Crossing, and Andy will be with us to talk the latest in IU basketball. We'll get into a little recruiting stuff. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule and the upcoming season as well with Andy when he joins us in Segment 2 today. Then later in the program, Segment 3, we'll have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle will drop in for obviously some basketball chatter in the recruiting world and the high school basketball world. And we'll also talk a little football. Kyle has been looking obviously more at the statewide and the Indianapolis area, but we'll take a look at some of the top teams across the state as we get ready to kick off the high school football season very soon. That's the guest lineup. It's a service each day of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you missed our Zaxby's kickoff show earlier this week on Wednesday night, we had all 8 area coaches on from Floyd and Clark counties. We also had a lot of the top players joining the program as well. We were live at Zaxby's in New Albany. You can catch the program as a podcast. We put it up yesterday afternoon. It's had a number of hits so far, and I'm sure between now and the start of the season, a lot of people will click on there to hear what your favorite team, your coach, maybe someone you know was a player guest on the show. But it's there at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. It is also available in the Apple Podcast, just like every edition of the Hoosier Report is. So you can search the Hoosier Report on Apple Podcast. You'll locate the Wednesday, August 8th Zaxby's kickoff show, and you can find out a lot about the upcoming season in high school football. Good stuff from the coaches. All the players were very well spoken, had good things to say about their teams, as you would expect at this early point of the season. And so make sure you check it out if you were unable to join us live or listen live here on the Big X. It's available as a podcast as of yesterday afternoon for you. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A number of things with recruiting. First off, you've got the Nike Skills Academy going on this week. And I don't really have an agenda or know the full layout. I know it's a lot of skill work, a lot of drills. I also know a lot of the Nike guys, the LeBron Jameses of the world, the guys that wear the Nike shoes and have the big contracts. They are a part of this clinic or this academy, at least for a couple days. And in fact, some pictures coming out last night. One was actually a video of Keon Brooks doing ball handling drills, and his partner was LeBron James, and his dad, Keon Brooks Sr., putting out a video of showing how he said, quote, the best in the world does his work in the offseason, talking about LeBron. But also saw a picture of Trace Jackson Davis. He was partnered up. I don't know if it was a game or a drill, but he was partnered up at some point with Rasheed Wallace. And again, I think that's the case. A lot of these Nike professional players that have contracts there as part of their contract to spend some days with maybe future players in the NBA. So in addition to all the learning and anything that Nike or these shoe companies do, it's going to be absolutely first class. But this is obviously over the top with some of the best players in the world, like LeBron James in attendance. So good for those guys to get that opportunity. It's a kind of a way to wind the summer down. Adidas has a similar type event, but this is a good way to wind the summer down. And some of these kids have not started school. I think we often forget in Indiana and in this part of the country and this part of things, we do seem to start nowadays a lot earlier than most other school systems. So a lot of those guys, it's their final event they'll do before they go back to school. Of course, for some of the guys, they've already started, like our kids here have in Clark and Floyd counties. There were some measurements that were published. And there are college players in attendance as well. I should mention that. But there were some measurements published from the Nike Skills Academy, and Jackson Davis of Center Grove is listed at 6'9", 230 pounds, with a 7'5" wingspan, while Brooks is listed at 6'6½" in height, 190 pounds, with a 6'9½" wingspan. Huge wingspans, as you would expect for those guys. Both are really long in length, in addition to having great height as well. A couple other notes recruiting-wise. James Booknight, who seems to be someone that is really taking a hard look at Indiana, and Indiana a hard look at him. They offered him back in the month of July. He confirmed with Adam Zagoria earlier this week that he's got official visits on the book for both Miami and UConn. He's still considering a number of other schools for visits. You can take 5 official visits as it stands right this moment. Indiana, obviously one of those that he is considering taking a visit to the campus for. Also, Kyra Lewis, he recently cut his list to 12 schools earlier in the week. Within the last couple weeks, he is expected to announce his decision later this afternoon. All reports show that Alabama would be the favorite to land Lewis. He did include Indiana in his top 12 that was released, as I said, within the last couple of weeks. There's also some wording or some thoughts out there that he might reclassify. That's happened a couple times over the last week or so with players that aren't in the Big Ten, have nothing to do with Indiana, where they're 2019 guys right now getting ready to start back to school, but instead they reclassify and end up going to college right now instead of their final year of high school. So that's possibly an option for Kyra Lewis. And he will make that announcement later today is what is being reported. A couple other things to pass along. We talk a lot about social media that Indiana basketball puts out. Really neat graphic put out yesterday. I'm sure that most of you have seen this by now. It was put out by both Indiana basketball and Indiana football, their social media accounts. And I know it's been commented on and shared very widely across the IU fan base. But the background of the graphic says the best play here, and in front of those words are Romeo Langford with a football in his basketball in his hand, also a Reese Taylor with a football in his hand. Indiana's Mr. Football as well. So showing that Mr. Basketball, Mr. Football, obviously considered Indiana, came to Indiana, on the roster for Indiana for the upcoming season. Of course, a Ben Davis football product, a New Albany basketball product. Obviously, both of those guys in state. But that's the latest social media as the representation of IU basketball in the offseason continues to be really, really strong. And they have done just a tremendous job promoting the current players and, of course, I'm sure doing some things that opens the eyes of potential players and recruits as well. Also, New Albany Little League, I mentioned they're in action today at 5 o'clock. They're going to take on New Albany, Ohio, so a rematch of the New Albanys once again. Yesterday, New Albany, Ohio was a winner in a game against Kentucky, 9-1, so a big winner in that game as they advance on now to the semifinal game against New Albany, Indiana. The game today is on regular ESPN. Big stuff for these young kids from Southern Indiana. They'll get a chance to play on ESPN, and if they win, they will move on to take on Michigan on Saturday. The Michigan game, if they win, would take place at 5 o'clock. That would be a championship, the championship game on Saturday against Michigan. So big stuff for perhaps a big couple days. It's been a big week, I'm sure, but big stuff today playing on ESPN against Ohio. And the opportunity maybe to take on a very, very good Michigan team to get again in the championship game for all the marbles Saturday at 5 o'clock if New Albany, Indiana can win this big semifinal today, and let's hope that they do. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. It's where fun happens. We are headed to a commercial break here in just a moment. Don't forget, coming up, Andy Bottoms of Assembly Call, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and I also want to mention some football scrimmages tonight. We're a week away from the real games, the start of the season, but there are some interesting scrimmages tonight for some of our local teams that I think will tell us more about what to expect. Now, some of them are going to get beat tonight. They do keep score in scrimmages, I believe, still. Some of them may not even be pretty final scores, so you may not be able to look at the score to determine what type of season it's going to be for your favorite team or for some of the area teams, but definitely I think you'll be able to learn competitive-wise who's going to be able to do what. Jeffersonville is at Warren Central tonight. Wow, that they're going to be, or they are, a top 10 team in the country. And the Red Devils, who have just a blistering schedule, of course, that starts being in 6A with that sectional with Center Grove and Columbus North in that sectional. But they are taking on the best of the best, and it starts with their scrimmage tonight at Warren Central, a 7 o'clock kickoff. Again, we're talking about a top 10 team in the nation that the Red Devils will be going against. New Albany, likewise, has a really big challenge tonight. They travel to East Central. East Central is the defending 4A state champion in that class. They have had a tremendous football program now for a number of years. It just seemed to reload every season coming out of the southeastern corner of the state. So for New Albany, they will find out, and there's been some buzz about New Albany football. They'll find out if that buzz is true, taking on a very good East Central team in a scrimmage tonight. A couple other scrimmages, I don't have all of them, but Floyd Central is at Charlestown. Providence is at Cordon tonight. Most teams are involved in some sort of scrimmage tonight. I think all of the local teams are. Those are the ones that we are aware of. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call, IU Basketball on Tap in the next segment. Stay with us as the Friday edition of the Hoosier Report rolls along right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All And we're back on this Friday edition of the show. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safe at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Filling in for Jared Morris today is Andy Bottoms, also of the Assembly Call, another radio show out last night. Podcast available of that. And Andy, we're glad to have you today.
Hey, I appreciate you having me. I missed the show last night for my anniversary, so this gives me a little bit of makeup work for hanging Jared out to dry. We need to get somebody else, so I'll cover for him.
Well, we'll let you off the hook, because as I was getting ready for the show this morning, I thought, let me check in to see what Andy's been up to lately, and I saw your daughter last night hit a game-winning shot, so that's quite an anniversary present. Congratulations to you. I think it was in her basketball league, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's been playing in a summer league, so they another game had to start, so they went through a short overtime period, and then it became sudden death. So she scored not too long after the tip off, so it was exciting. It was a good wedding gift or anniversary gift for sure.
Absolutely, Andy Bottoms, our guest. We spent a lot of time yesterday on this with Alex Bozich, and I know that as things kind of come together a little more understandable than what they are, I guess is a good way to say it. We'll talk a lot more about this in the future, but I'm curious your overall thoughts on some of these NCAA and recruiting changes that have been passed or in the process of being passed.
Yeah, it strikes me as I've kind of done what I think most people have and tried to read and get different opinions on it, and it feels like most things circle back to the same premise that it feels like window dressing and kind of doing something for the sake of saying you did something. But it, at the end of the day, it doesn't really address the root causes of the issues that were in place. And I think for people who have been, I think, rightfully critical of some of the selections of the people on this committee and their real knowledge and even desire to understand the inner workings of the system that they are supposed to fix, nothing I've really heard seems to suggest they've gone out of their way to really understand the root of the problems that cropped up. And none of these rule changes to me really will address the root of those issues in the end, which is the amateurism model and all those kinds of things. And so while I think a couple of these things could be, beneficial, I don't think any of them are harmful by any means, but I also don't know that I think any of them are going to be real game changers in terms of how things run in the summer and really solving the issues that are out there.
Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call, our guest. That's the one thing, no matter who we talk to on this show or who else I listen to elsewhere or what I see some of the college basketball analysts that I respect write, there's questions about some of the things, especially on the recruiting side, but more so there just seems to be a lot of confusion. I know this has come together quick. I know that there were people involved in the commission that might have been outstanding government appointments and very successful business people, but I'm not sure they understand college basketball or recruiting. But that's the one consistent thing, no matter what you listen to or read, there's just still a lot of confusion in what's been passed as far as how it's actually going to work or how it's going to be enforced or who's going to actually, head up certain parts of it, like the thing yesterday, USA Basketball saying, we're not really sure that that's what we are supposed to do or that we're capable of saying who is a elite high school player and should be able to have an agent. So a lot of confusion with all this, at least at this point, and it's going to be real interesting to see how things shape up between now and again next summer as far as the recruiting side of it goes.
Yeah, it just is funny to me that, I try to put it in the context of any other job that anybody would be doing. If you were tasked with doing something, I can't understand a scenario in which you wouldn't reach out to the people who know how that works the best. Even if you think those are the people who are part of the problem or even the root of the problem, to really not understand what goes on in, the AAU and the grassroots basketball circuit, which I'm not here to tell you that I'm an expert on by any means, but if I was tasked with fixing it or if I was tasked with fixing something at my job, I would reach out to somebody who really knew what they were talking about. And if I knew that I, had a gap in what I understood about it. And it just feels like, you don't hear a lot of coaches saying they've been talked to. I don't think any of the folks or many of the folks related to the grassroots circuit have really been talked to. I don't know if they've pulled in agents and things like that. So I struggle to believe that that the committee's understanding on what's really causing the issues that they are trying to fix is any better today or dramatically better today than it was when they formed the commission. And then when you look at the rules changes that came out, those don't do a lot to really convince me otherwise.
Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call, our guest, joining us today to talk IU basketball. Other things I want to get to with you here in this segment. First off, recruiting is still kind of the name of the game right now. Coming out of the month of July, we're seeing a lot of prospects mention visits and cut their list and all those sorts of things. And I know Hoosier hysteria will be huge from a recruiting perspective, but you want to talk about recruits. Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks are obviously two of the biggest. They're great players. They're right here in the state of Indiana. Archie Miller has essentially been recruiting those guys since he arrived in Bloomington. I saw this morning on social media that I think it was Rasheed Wallace working with Trace Jackson Davis, LeBron James with Keon Brooks doing some ball handling drills at the Nike Skills Academy. This isn't a recruiting event where coaches are in attendance or anything like that, but you want to talk about a great way to end a high school standout player summer, the opportunity to go to one more event, work on your skills with high-level people, high-level instructors. On top of that, get some of the very best, like LeBron James, to spend time working with you, and you're competing against him in a ball-handling drill. That's really an unbelievable end to the summer.
Yeah, I saw those too. And yeah, just to think about the opportunity for people like that. I mean, you mentioned my daughter earlier. She's probably more into soccer than basketball, maybe a little bit to my chagrin. But yeah, I mean, if you gave her the opportunity to go and spend time with somebody of the caliber of like the, you know, U.S. women's national team or something like that, I mean, as soon as she stopped screaming and kind of got over the being awestruck by the situation, I mean, there's nobody better to learn from. And yeah, it's hard for me to sit here and kind of put myself in their shoes as to what that would have been like in high school to be able to get those opportunities. But like you said, not really a recruiting event. I mean, I'm sure there's some component of that to all of it, but just really being able to immerse yourself and work on skills with guys of that caliber, I think it's pretty hard to put a value on something like that.
Jared Morris, Andy Bottoms filling in for Jared Morris here on this Friday show. And what's Jared up to? Does he have a good excuse for this absence today?
I think it's something preschool related for his daughter. So I think that's a good excuse,
yes,
in my book. So
yes.
I'll let him go.
Absolutely. We're finding out more about the schedule. A couple other non-conference games announced earlier this week. Chicago State, one of those games. Texas Arlington, the other game. So nothing that's going to make you get too excited, but we are, I think, getting real close to finding out the full schedule. And, of course, we can piece together a lot of it right now. What do you make of what you know so far about the non-conference part of Indiana's schedule? I think there are obviously some big challenges on there. There are some rivalry games that make a lot of sense for Indiana to play. We'll see if those continue in the future. But definitely a challenging schedule with plenty, I think, of exciting moments forthcoming as far as the non-conference side of Indiana's schedule goes.
Yeah, I think just counting through the ones that we know about in some capacity, even if it's not the date, I think there's 9 out there, it looks like right now, at least kind of based on what's on inside the hall. So maybe only a couple more by the time you factor in the Big Ten schedule. So in terms of opponents, I think we know pretty much all of them, with the exception of maybe a couple. And it's a good balance for a team not playing in an exempt tournament before the season to be able to play some really high caliber teams. You know, obviously going to Duke, playing Butler in Indianapolis, playing Louisville at Assembly Hall, playing Marquette at Assembly Hall. If you really buy into BPI, apparently Marquette is phenomenal when they're preseason BPI numbers. But I think they should be good, all joking aside. So, I mean, that's 4 quality NCAA tournament caliber teams that you're playing right out of the gate, 1 on the road, 2 at home, 1 on a neutral floor. Playing at Arkansas, while they look to be down a bit this year, playing a road game at an SEC team shouldn't hurt you from an RPI perspective. And then a couple of the other teams, Chicago State is not going to be good at all in what's likely to be the opener. UT Arlington, though, has typically had a pretty good program, although they got rid of their coach, but that will be one of the home games that we found out about this week. UC Davis, of the others, is probably the best one. They should be one of the better teams in the Big West. And while not a, top 50 RPI type win, when you start to kind of spin forward and look at that, I think what should be a a really solid team that's probably in the mix for the auto bid from their league. So I think it strikes a pretty good balance. It's hard to do that when you've got the Big Ten playing earlier games and when you're not in one of those preseason tournaments to make sure that you get enough quality opponents. But I think, you know, if you figure you've got a 10 or 11 game schedule, I think you've got four teams that would be in the at-large conversation. And if you throw in UC Davis, a fifth that probably would be in the conversation or will be one of the top contenders for their automatic bid in their league. I think you've done a pretty good job. And with a young team, it's going to be hard to balance, you know, playing some winnable home games and building confidence and being able to see different combinations of guys. And so hopefully they're able to, with these last couple that get announced, be able to strike that balance and be able to get something out of those games as well.
Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call joining us this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I know you weren't part of the Assembly Call show last night, but a lot of time was spent talking about Clifton Moore. And each week I've kind of been following Assembly Call's lead and the player or two that they've talked about in the most recent episode to bring up with Jared. And he really, Clifton really is a player that we don't think about a lot, don't talk about a lot in the off season, but he has some natural things about him that make you very interested in what his ceiling could be at Indiana. And when you think about him, I don't know which guy last night on the show said this, but when you think about Clifton Moore for next season, he's somebody that you wonder, will he maybe be a bench warmer and play in 6, 7, 8 games like he did a season ago, or will he really legitimately use some of his size and things to his advantage and become a key player in IU's rotation? If there's a player on the roster that could go either way, not playing much like he did last season, or maybe really increasing his playing time and playing a big part of this team, I think that player might be Clifton Moore. There's so much unknown with him.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. I'm most of the way through listening to that segment, and you know, it was funny. We've had a lot of these others where we can really go back and look at different situations and recall different games and things like that with these guys, and you feel like you know at least something about them. And with him, to your point, I think you leave, you know, his first season thinking like, I don't really think I know anything about him in terms of what to expect. And so it makes it, I think that's what allows him to somewhat get lost in the shuffle of, you know, he's not kind of the returning guy who you know what you're going to get from, or you can really hang your hat on one thing, even a McRoberts or somebody like that, who you say, look, I know what I'm going to get from this guy defensively. And he's also not the, you know, kind of shiny new object in terms of some of the new guys. So he falls in that, you know, pretty small group of guys who are in that middle ground. But he does have a pretty wide range of things. And I heard some of them saying, you know, you really haven't heard a lot about him one way or the other in the off season. And so I guess depending on your point of view, you can take the glass half full or the glass half empty approach and say, well, that's concerning that you haven't heard anything, or, you know, maybe no news is good news and he's progressing the way that they want him to. So I'll be interested to see. He's a guy that I would really watch early on to figure out how much he gets used, because I don't know if he can't crack his way into the rotation early on as a guy who at least at a minimum has a year in the system under his belt. I find it hard to believe that his playing time would increase over the course of the season when he really had a year head start on some of the new guys who he's going to really be competing with for playing time. So he's one that, you know, if you're looking for reasons to watch the Chicago State game, as an example, other than, you know, that likely being the season opener, you know, watch for how the rotation looks, where a guy like him fits in, how much he plays, how he plays, and things like that. And I would guess I'd plant myself in the camp of being a little bit skeptical, because I felt like they needed so much help down low last year, particularly after Deron Davis got hurt, that I think Ryan brought this up on the show. I mean, there was no reason to hold him back last year. They had a need at that position. And at least as a freshman, which is not all that hard to believe, he found trouble finding his way onto the floor. So I probably come into the season a little bit more skeptical. But I agree with you that the range of outcomes for him is as wide as anybody on the roster.
Andy Bottoms, Assembly Call, our guest. Final thing, I saw another great social media hit last night from IU basketball, I guess IU football as well. You've got New Albany, Romeo Langford, Indianapolis, Ben Davis, Reese Taylor, Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball, with the words, the best play here in the background. Very well done, and obviously the fans love to see that kind of stuff, but that really would make an impression, I would have to think, on potential recruits, especially someone from the state of Indiana, say maybe Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks, that see that come across their stream. Job well done by Indiana on their promotion and social media work. It's almost become a regular topic on this show of, well, here's what the latest was, and it was great, or here was the latest thing that the graphic that came out or the video that came out, and it was great as well. So big time stuff, and really like that feel of the best play here from Indiana. I think that obviously with the talent in this state in both sports, specifically basketball, really can stand out and mean a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, we talk about that a ton for basketball, but I think football is in, you know, another case where, you know, the talent pool might not be as deep as we would say that it is for basketball, but that's going to be equally important for the football program as, you know, Tom Allen tries to grow things, is being able to try to keep more of the top guys in state. So, yeah, another really well-done image. I know they probably cannot sell those from a player, you know, because the players are on it, but I think that's one that would be gobbled up pretty quickly. All the comments were positive about that, and I think they're just finding, you know, new and different ways to really, you know, drive home the message of where they want these programs to go, and really targeting those in-state kids. And I think that's a great way to do it. Hopefully, it's a series that can continue in the coming years, because that would bode well for both the football and the basketball programs.
Absolutely. Andy Bottoms with the Assembly Call filling in for Jared Morris today. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Andy, great job. We'll talk with you again soon. And, of course, always look forward to your bracketology once the season gets well underway.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Matt. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, rolling along today. And don't forget football scrimmages tonight. A lot of the area teams, all of the area football teams in action. Next Friday, week one of the season, our coverage will begin then as well. It's Kentuckiana Football Fridays. Starting at 6 o'clock, we'll have an hour-long pregame show, interviews with coaches and media and others involved to get you set for the night of games. Then from 7 o'clock on, updates, play-by-play, call-in reports, scoreboard updates from all the games on both sides of the river. And when it's all said and done, all the final scores in the book, we'll have a 30-minute scoreboard show with interviews and scores and results, highlights from the night. It's just going to be 5-plus hours of live and local coverage for high school football Fridays here in Southern Indiana. And we'll do a little across the river as well. So make sure if you're at a game next week, or you're on your way home from a game next week, the Big X Sports Radio is where you need to be, whether it's the radio, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, or whether it's streaming or listening on the TuneIn app. Plenty of ways to get us, and you won't want to miss our football coverage. We will have you covered from all angles this season. We'll head to a break. Kyle Neddenrip is next from the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here, Friday edition of the program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on our Friday shows. And Kyle, high school football across the state of Indiana, inching closer to the kickoff of week one next Friday. A lot of scrimmages tonight for most teams in the state. In fact, Jeffersonville is coming up to scrimmage Warren Central, who is going to just be an unbelievable high school football team, not just in the state, but they're getting national recognition as well. And the Red Devils, who already have a very tough regular season schedule, they're going to find out a lot about themselves tonight, taking on a very, very, very good Warren Central team.
Yeah, Warren is, they're our number one team in our area, probably will go in as the number one team in the state in 6A, and their offense is loaded. You know, you guys down there, I'm sure, know David Bell's name by now after you know, the season he had in basketball and the, of course, the last-second shot he hit against New Albany. And he's arguably the best football recruit in the state at receiver. And, you know, he's, I talked to him the other day, he's not going to make a decision before the season, which is, you know, only 7 days away. But he's down to five schools, and Indiana, Purdue are two of them, and then Penn State, Ohio State are in there as well. So, you know, that'll be an interesting battle. Also Iowa, so it's a Big Ten battle, but He's a big time receiver. And they've got a lot of guys. Southern Illinois recruit that running back Romeo Elliott, and then Jaden George, who's Jeff George's son, is the quarterback. So a lot of good skill position players. I don't think this year, maybe, last year Ben Davis was so far ahead of everybody else, it seemed like, even though the MIC, they had some challenges in the MIC, but I don't think this year there's maybe that separation that we saw last year. I think it's more of a kind of a typical year where, you've got one team, which is probably Warren, which looks like the best, but I think Carmel's right there. Their defense is really, really good. Ben Davis has come back to the pack some. They're probably more middle of the road in the MIC. But a lot of really good teams. Maybe not the dominant team. That's maybe a once in a decade type team we saw last year with Ben Davis. So it'll be a fun year. I'm looking forward to almost have all of our preview stuff done now and just kind of wrapping that up, and then we'll start looking at next week and get a fresh look at things with some of the first week of games, which there's a lot of good ones on the schedule for next week.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. While we're on the topic of high school football, we just had our kickoff show and interviewed every coach and a lot of the top players here to try to find out where teams stack up, at least down here in far southern Indiana. From a statewide perspective, you want to take a stab at giving us a couple, maybe Warren Central already in that classification of top teams, but you want to take a minute to give us your thoughts on some of the big-time football programs that, even if it's not a Southern Indiana team, we'll be hearing about this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, 6A is really, it's Central Indiana's, pretty much every year. And I went back and looked. I think 2000, there's only been six classes since about 2013, I believe it is. But if you go back even farther, when 5A was the biggest class, the last team not from Central Indiana to win the biggest class was Penn, and that was 18 years ago. So, if you look for the top 6A teams, it's going to be someone around here. Warren, Carmel, Center Grove, Avon. Avon's a team this year. I think that'll be, they have a Ohio State recruited running back, Samson James, and I had a chance to talk to him the other day. He looks like an Ohio State recruit. He's big and strong, rushed for almost 2,000 yards last season, and they've got almost their entire offensive line is back. So, he'll be in the range of 2,000 again as long as he's healthy. So that Avon team, I think that's a team outside of the MIC that may have a chance to make a run at it. And they've been close two out of the last 3 years they've played in the semi-state. So in 6A, I think it kind of starts there. In 5A, I think New Pal is a team this year to watch. They're better than they were last year. A lot of experience coming back. I think that's a team in 5A that could make a run. Cathedral every year, whatever class they're in is capable. They're in 5A this year. Kind of interesting with them. They could be anywhere because of the tournament success factor. They could be anywhere from 4A to 6A next year. They could be one of three different classes based on how the tournament goes. But I think they'll be in the mix. Roncalli is probably a step down from where they were last year, but still always good. 4A is kind of it's become a bit of a change because Roncalli and Cathedral are playing up in 5A. So that's more of a wide open class. A lot of times that has been, a team like East Central or, more of a statewide look in 4A. 3A, I think Bishop Chittard around here has got a really good shot. I think if you go down to 2A, Cecina is loaded. They've got a receiver, David Baker, who's already getting Big Ten interest and offers already as a junior. So they're loaded offensively. And then 1A Pioneer is the team to beat. Jack Kaiser is a Notre Dame recruit. He does everything for that team, defense, offense. He plays quarterback. You look at his stats are just incredible, and they were undefeated last year. So they'll be really tough to beat. Football's not a one-man sport, but, man, that's he's as good as anybody. In 1A and really in the state, he's a guy who's probably at the 1A level. He's got a real shot at, being in the top three or four for Mr. Football, I think, this year, just based on what he's done already.
High school football, it officially kicks off 1 week from tonight, of course, we'll have complete coverage on our Kentuckiana football Friday nights coverage here on the Big X. And Kyle covering primarily the Indianapolis area, but keeps an eye on the entire state. That was a great rundown of some teams to pay attention to in different classes on a statewide level. And I do want to talk a little basketball with you. The recruiting changes that were announced officially on Wednesday are puzzling, to say the least. And I talked some earlier with Andy Bottoms in the last segment about those, and Alex Bozich and I spent a long time breaking those down yesterday. And I'm sure there's going to be many, many more discussions to come on the agent thing and on what summer recruiting will look like in the future, specifically the camps that the NCAA is going to supposedly put on, how those are going to work, how players are going to be invited to those. There's just a lot of things that will be interesting to see how they end up working out. One of the things that I think probably matters everywhere, but specifically in Indiana because it's where we're at and because of how good the high school basketball is, a part of this new deal is 2 3-day periods in the month of June. I think it's the final 2 weeks of June, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that will allow high school teams, high school players, high school events in the state for coaches to attend if they are certified or sanctioned or some process that, again, is one of these, I don't think, fully determined ways it's going to be sanctioned yet by the National Federation of High Schools, and it may end up coming through the by each state. In Indiana's case, the Indiana High School Athletic Association. I think that it would be interesting to see college coaches get the opportunity in the summer months when often the games don't really matter. You're missing a couple guys to football or injuries or other things. If you want to make June meaningful and have a meaningful event or two where you really want your team to be well-practiced and well-prepared, you really want to do some scouting of the opponents, you really want to make sure that your full roster is there, having Division I college coaches on the sideline could really amp up the meaning of some of the summer basketball opportunities in June with players playing for their high schools. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think so, and you know, to be honest, I've been reading this, and you know, I had with so much high school football stuff this week, I want to dive in further to see exactly what this might look like. And I think it's an interesting, you know, I think here in Indiana, I think the IBCA, you know, I'm sure they will put on good events if it is them who ends up doing it. I'm sure the IHSAA would work in conjunction with the IBCA to put on some good events, whether it's I imagine maybe the two weekends could be, you know, you could run some sort of camp like the top 100, you know, in some combination of games like they do now over a few days. You know, I don't know what exactly it looks like. You know, something like the Charlie Hughes Shootout, you know, I think that would be, you know, that would work pretty well, I would say. And maybe it's some different, you know, form of that, but it's not, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure this is the best way to do it, you know, but, I think, you know, the high school coaches in Indiana will come together and do the best they can to put on an event multiple events over 2 weeks. That'll be, that'll work pretty well. You know, it's an interesting changes, I thought. I'm not sure what the in the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure what it ends up helping necessarily, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's a, you know, I think here will be okay. I think they'll put on some good events. There's some other state associations nationwide, though, that I'm not sure this is going to benefit those kids. You know, we've seen, you know, personally, with the Indiana-Kentucky series, you know, there hasn't been always a organization on that other end in Kentucky, but I don't know. I mean, it's to each state association, I guess, to do the best they can to put that on, but I'm not exactly sure yet. You know, I'd like to get further into it, to kind of see what that might look like and get a better handle on what's actually going to happen in June.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. I'll finish with this today because I know you went through it, I think, this season as a parent. I know you did last season as well with Brownsburg Little League. But the Great Lakes taking place once again in Indianapolis at Grand Park. New Albany is there. They are in a semifinal game against New Albany, Ohio tonight. Michigan has been the front runner all week long. They have they're a perfect 3-0, and they really have cruised past most of their opponents. We'll see what New Albany can do, if they can mount a better challenge against Michigan if they win this semifinal game against New Albany, Ohio tonight. But the Little League experience is special. We spent a lot of time this week updating people on the New Albany team. We had the manager on yesterday. They had an off day, and he joined us on the program to kind of talk about both on and off the field what the experience has been like playing in front of the ESPN cameras and staying with the teams and trading the pins and all the things that go along with it. But the Little League experience, it still means a lot in Indiana, and obviously there's still some really good teams and players on a national level and international level as well that are playing. I think years ago it may have just been completely flooded with all the top players. There weren't as many options. There weren't all the travel opportunities. But Little League is a special deal. You've been involved, as I said, as a parent coming through with your kid at Brownsburg, and you had some really good teams that played some of these New Albany kids over the years in state tournaments and so forth. But interesting always to follow it, and interesting, I know, for Indianapolis, an interesting time as they get to host the Great Lakes here over the last week or so.
Yeah, and we've been, you know, Mike, we've been watching when we can, and maybe not watching full games, but my kids will have it on, and we'll watch, you know, parts of games, and actually hoping to maybe get out there and watch some of it, you know, if it's still going on. Is it tomorrow, Matt, when the
tonight is the Michigan's already in the final. Tonight is New Albany, Indiana against New Albany, Ohio. Then the final is Friday. The final is Saturday at 5 o'clock. Then the winner from there goes basically straight to Williamsport.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're hoping to maybe get out there. I thought that's what it was tomorrow's a championship, and hopefully New Albany's playing from Indiana. So maybe we can get out there and watch them and cheer for the Indiana team to make it through. But, yeah, it's a special deal. My older son, of course, last year, you know, we happened to see you out there, and they were playing for the state championship, and you know, I remember telling you, I mean, we didn't expect that team, you know, to get there, and it was so fun, you know, to kind of go on that ride and see them make it. And then we ended up, you know, the 10-year-old team always goes out to Williamsport to watch and be a part of it and get to play in a little on the old, the original diamond out there in a little three-game exhibition deal. And it was just a blast. It was so fun to be there. And I remember as a kid even watching and like, man, it'd be fun to go see what that little field looks like and the kids sliding down the hill, and they had a blast. And my younger son next year, you know, if he's on that purple team, then they'll get a chance to go out there too. So, you know, hopefully, you know, 2 out of 3 years to go out to Williamsport would be a lot of fun. So, but yeah, of course, you know, there's no guarantees. And this year, my older son, they ended up losing to a good Broad Ripple team in the district. And, you know, it's hard, you know, like you said, I mean, there's so many options now that, you know, that you lose a kid here or two goes to travel, and, you know, it kind of changes your team a lot. And that's kind of the nature of it anymore. You know, it's just the way it is. But most of that group is played together growing up. They go to school together, you know, they're good friends, and that's really what it's all about, whether you win or lose or whatever. It's more about those. You don't remember the specifics of the games, but you remember the relationships and the friends, and those guys will, I'm sure, be friends forever. So that's kind of the fun part of it, is seeing those friendships blossom.
Absolutely. Kyle Nenrip, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. You can read Kyle's work at IndyStar.com/sports and at Kyle Nenrip on Twitter. By chance, will you be at any scrimmages tonight? Will you be at the Warren Central scrimmage by chance, or no?
Well, I'll be somewhere. I'm looking at a couple different options. I probably won't be at that one, but I might be at, there's a couple others that I'm looking at, either probably Center Grove or the Avon. Avon could play Cathedral tonight, so that I kind of want to see that one, so I may end up over at Avon.
Gotcha. Kyle Nenrip, Indianapolis Star. As always, Kyle, thanks for the chat, and we'll talk with you next week on the opening day of high school football, I should add.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us here on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, New Albany takes on New Albany, Ohio, 5 o'clock this afternoon. I know a lot of you guys will be getting off work. We wish we could be there to broadcast, but we were not allowed to do so with Little League still being in a temporary facility with a temporary small press box, not a lot of room. At least that's the reason they give us. So you'll have to watch it. It is on regular ESPN, though, so that will be a little easier to find. You won't have to try to stream it or find a smart TV to watch it on ESPN+. But best of luck to New Albany. They take on New Albany, Ohio, who was a pretty good challenge when they played the first time. And then New Albany, Ohio beat Kentucky by a big margin yesterday. So perhaps they've settled in and are playing better. It very likely may be a good game. But let's hope New Albany can get back to that final and play a very tough, a very good Michigan team coming up on Saturday afternoon. That game also would be on ESPN. And then the winner, they heard you there straight from Indianapolis. They don't get to go home and wash clothes and take a break and that sort of thing. They go straight to Williamsport and get ready for the Little League World Series out there, which would be an unbelievable experience if they somehow could find a way to make it. Good luck to New Albany. Don't forget, we podcast our shows. If you miss a segment, if you miss a full show and you want to go back and listen, there are a couple ways you can do so. We're in SoundCloud. We're also on Apple Podcast. Go to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can check it all out and listen to what you want, and we appreciate it. Our numbers have been good coming from both services, and appreciate those of you that take time to, if you can't catch it live, to do so. Podcast it with us every day. A reminder, scrimmages tonight. Jeffersonville at Warren Central. That is a big challenge for the Red Devils. A big challenge for the Bulldogs of New Albany. They play at East Central, the defending 4A state champions. Floyd Central at Charlestown, Providence at Cordon. There are some other scrimmages involving area teams as well, but those are a few games we have marked down that we know for sure scrimmages that will happen tonight in advance of week one. Of course, next week at this time, we'll be talking with Steve Cooley and Larry Dennison, the coaches at New Albany and Providence, before a big rivalry game that will take place next week. You've got Silver Creek and Charlestown as well. Jeffersonville playing down in Somerset, Kentucky. A very tough one for them. Louisville Male at Floyd Central next week. Scottsburg at Clarksville. Oldenburg Academy at Rock Creek. That is the week one schedule of games for next Friday coming up, and it'll be here before you know it. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday at 11 a.m. We do this every day, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you Monday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.